Hello, everybody. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are turning towards life again, as we always do on a Sunday morning here in the UK in the morning time. You're very welcome to be with us, Justin. It's very lovely to have you here. And just as a little preamble for everybody, the thing I said before we joined is that Justin sent the source, which we're going to read in a moment. And I feel like I've got absolutely no idea what it means. So it's going to be an interesting foray for me into really genuinely not knowing and feeling what this is and being in the moment with how something unfolds in me. So anyway, I'm super curious about that, Justin. And just to say, if you want to receive us into your inbox, you can go to our lovely website, turningtowards.life, and sign up for our weekly emails, which I get myself, Justin, and they're very beautiful. And thank you, Justin, for doing that part of letting everybody know about us in that way. And we are in August, middle of August 2025, and we're beginning our Turning Towards Life live season coming up in September. So if anybody wants to have a look at that, you can go to turningtowards.life and see whether you would fancy joining us. We would love to have you. It's a really wonderful program that we've set up, and it also invites you, if you choose, you don't have to do this, you can come as a single person, but you can come with someone else. So if you feel like you have a friend that you talk about this with, you have somebody who would be in the conversation with you over time, we're inviting pairs to come so that you can be in conversation together over time and see how your relationship evolves from being together in this particular way. So anyway, we'd love to have you. And as always, you can email us, Lizzie or Justin at turningtowards.life, or just hello at turningtowards.life. And we love, love, love receiving your emails. So Justin, over to you. Thank you for choosing this wonderful source. And thank you for being a person who brings me things I simply do not understand.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lizzie. Well, hello, everybody. So a reminder that you can find, we're starting this morning with a source. It's a very short poem by the poet Rainer Maria Rilke called Widening Circles. And you can find it always in the show notes on turningtowards.life. We also post it in our Facebook group. So there's always a place to find it. And it comes out in the email that you've talked about, Lizzie. If you want to gather sources or have a source available to you to read as you listen to this or to come back to later, that's a way to do it. And I wanted, before we read it, Lizzie, just to say something about this practice, because it's relevant to the start of Turning Towards Life Live, our circles, our seasonal circles of practice and reflection that you were talking about, is it, for anyone who's listened to Turning Towards Life more than once. So if this is your first time, welcome. But if you've listened more than once, you'll know that the structure of this practice, Lizzie, that you and I are practicing each week, which is going to be the same central practice of Turning Towards Life Live, is that we begin with some words. And the words are like they're two things. They're like a source, like a river flow into the conversation. They begin a conversation somewhere that we wouldn't begin otherwise. And they also become like a third person in the conversation. So there's three of us, or maybe more. There's you and me. There's the relationship between us. Then there's the source written by someone else. And then, and I think this is the most important thing, and it's related to what you said about being, what is this even about that you brought, is actually the discoveries that I always think that these conversations are a place that something new gets made. We're not just talking about a source, we're actually creating together a whole new conversation. And it comes from paying attention to one another and being open to one another and being open to the source, but also being open as it happens to what's arising in ourselves, even if it's just confusion, like I have no idea what this is. And I want to say that because I think that I've been thinking about this a lot recently, Lizzie, that one of the reasons this practice sustains us in the way that it does is that the process for us humans of bringing our attention to what is arising in us and then finding words for it and bringing it out into the world so it can be available to another is a very important way of being in contact, creative, alive, contact and receptivity with our own lives. And it's very, very life-giving. And it's not surprising that in many spiritual paths. So I know it best from my own Jewish background, but I know it also exists in Christianity and in Islam and in many other paths, that this process of bringing something wise into the middle and then not just analyzing it like we tend to do, like at school, at university, or that kind of thing, but really going, how is this, what's happening in me, this human, and what's happening between me and you, is a really much needed practice and way of attending that many of us don't have much opportunity to get close to. So we do this every week and then we share it, and many people listen. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for sharing it with others. And then we're offering this way of meeting together monthly that goes in six-month seasons, because we want to invite all of you and anyone else, you know, you don't have to be a listener of Turning Towards Life, into this practice of meeting, attending, noticing, feeling, voicing, hearing. That is wonderful. And even if you have no idea what the source is. And so here we are with this source. So I have my reason for bringing this, and it is partly related to a conversation we began last week, Lizzie, and nobody ever needs to listen to the week before, but last week, which was week 408, for anyone who wants to find it, you brought a poem by Maya Angelou called Phenomenal Woman. And in a way, this is partly a response to the conversation we had last week. And in a way, it's a whole new conversation. And it goes like this. So this is Widening Circles. It's translated by the wonderful Joanna Macy, who we've been talking about for a while here, and who we had an episode dedicated to a few weeks ago. Widening Circles. I live my life in widening circles that reach out across the world. I may not complete this last one, but I give myself to it. I circle around God, around the primordial tower. I've been circling for thousands of years, and I still don't know. Am I a falcon, a storm, or a great song?
Thank you, Justin. Here we go again. I live my life in widening circles that reach out across the world. I may not complete this last one, but I give myself to it. I circle around God, around the primordial tower. I've been circling for thousands of years and I still don't know. Am I a falcon, a storm, or a great song?
Well, this is very mysterious. But I also know that Rainer Maria Rilke was not a person to make up nonsense. So I take him very seriously. Last week, we got into a conversation that started with Maya Angelou's amazing words about what it might be to be a woman. And what we got talking about, Lizzie, in a way was one thread of our conversation was how poor and shallow the stories about ourselves that we have often are. So there are the stories that we're given by our culture, for example, about what men or women should be, or in these days where there's a much wider conversation about gender, for example, what it is to be a human of many different experiences of gender. We've been handed stories. And we've also been handed stories. So what I wanted to find this week, which I haven't found yet, but that will come, is a response as a person who has grown up as a man to the stories about being men. And that will come in a few weeks. I know where I'm looking for what I want to bring. So we started with that. And then I was thinking, and we talked a little bit about this last time, about all the different kinds of stories we have about being a person, about who we should be and what makes the right kind of person and what we're meant to be up to. And as I've been looking for this source about men, I've been coming across lots of places which talk about, for example, in that realm, the story that lots of young men get told, which is you are what you do, you know, go and go and get the right kind of career and earn the right kind of money and have the right kind of status or image. And that can be true of women too and of everyone. And then there's all the stories that we didn't get told explicitly, but we sort of imbibed from the culture or just from being around our family system or our siblings or our whoever we were at school with or whoever taught us at school. And then Rilke comes in and he says this. And what I think is so wonderful about this very short poem is he's pointing to a place that's beyond all the stories that we have. If it is the case that we each have been circling for thousands of years in widening circles that reach out across the world, and we may not complete this last one, what I can feel is he's tying us into the great sweep of time. Mm-hmm. That the circle of being a person that I'm engaged in, for example, didn't begin with me. And it didn't begin with my parents, and it didn't begin with my grandparents or my great-grandparents or my great-great-grandparents. They began it, as did the great like swell of human life all the way back and through. And here we are, completing the circle that isn't just ours. I didn't set out on life one day and go, right, now I'm going to make complete sense of my life myself. We got handed things. And we got handed this biological heritage that began before humans began, that with whatever came before us was already beginning. And here we are circling and trying to find out what we are and becoming what we are. And when I hear you read Rilke's words, I feel some measure of relief in me. As a person who has often had the story that it's still a big trap for me. I'm meant to figure this all out. I'm meant to know what's going on. I'm meant to be able to understand it. And I'm meant to be able to say what my understanding is and sort of be in control of the world. And Rilke goes, nah, you're never going to do that. You're just the latest. I don't mean just in a small way. You are the latest circling of something that has been going on for millennia, mm-hmm. for millions of years. And you're not going to complete your part of it. Mm. And frankly, who knows what you are? I mean, I don't know what I am. Am I a falcon or a storm or a great song or something else? I'm not sure I really know. And I think the line that moves me so much in this poem is, I may not complete this last one, but I give myself to it.
Mm.
And it's such a corrective for me in this pattern that I talked about of trying to be one, understanding things. It's just been my life and the particular body I got given and the particular way my mind works. Understanding things has got me a really long way. But the biggest and most important things, I frankly don't have a clue. And it's been such a source of pain and suffering and difficulty and self-criticism to go. And Rilke says, no, 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 no. You've got the wrong end of the stick here.
Mm.
That's not what to do. And lastly for now is, I love that he's named some possibilities, because a falcon and a storm and a great song are such different ways of thinking about what it is to be a person. If I imagine myself into those somehow, and they're all so different to one another, but somehow a vast world opens up that's so much bigger than my small self and my small stories about myself.
Mm. God, it's so lovely listening to you and feeling the freedom of not knowing. And it's so interesting watching what's happening in me in response to your sayings, Justin, and also holding the poem close at the same time. And I have a slightly wildly different response to it as I'm sitting here in this moment. And I'm going to see if I can say what it is, because it feels also quite hard to say or to make coherent for you and anybody else. But I'm going to have a go. So the way I'm holding this is that the poem is kind of in relationship to the way that sometimes we can live our lives in very small circles. And this is talking of living our life in widening circles. Like, so as life goes on, and certainly this has been true for my life, the amount of the world and the amount of humans I have my arms around has grown and grown and grown and grown as I've probably become more in touch with my feelings about humanness and my compassion and feeling the universality of humanness. So I'm feeling the widening circles as my life is not just oriented to the four walls I live inside of. It's much bigger than that. My care is much, much bigger, and it gets bigger all the time, it feels. And that's a thing, because it's quite hard to hold a lot of what I feel like I am in relationship with. And then this feeling of I may not complete this last one, this last circle. It's like I never know what that's going to mean. You know, as we reach into the unknown of caring for things and people that are way beyond our understanding or knowing even, it feels big to hold and to care as much as I feel like I care. And not necessarily being able to do anything about everything I want to do something about, but the care is really there. And so the other part of it, and how it relates to the second piece of the poem, is that the more I am in touch with more humans and more of life and more difficulties and more joys and more traumas and more stories, it throws me into really genuinely not having any opinions about how to live or how to do anything. And so this feeling of the not knowing if am I a falcon or storm or a great song, I mean, I feel like it points to a feeling in me that I don't know, that the more I know, well, that doesn't work either, because I know I don't know much, but there's a kind of an increasing unknowingness, uncertainness that comes with every other story I hear, with every tragedy that unfolds, with every confusion that there is, and with every impossibility that exists in the world that's entirely unsolvable due to its depth and complexity. I feel like the more I'm in touch with that, the less I have a kind of a definitive, well, this is what I think, and this is what I would do. And I just have that less and less these days. So this is how I'm kind of holding this, is this kind of acknowledgement of the wider we hold and the bigger we become in our care, the more complexity we encounter and the less sure of anything I can ever be or become. And the more I'm kind of thrown into this feeling of this whole poem, which is kind of, I circle around God around the primordial tower. I mean, like, what on earth does that mean? But it's like, it's here. And I don't think I understand what that means, but it makes sense to me when I know nothing, that that's actually very reassuring, that maybe that's what's happening. So I feel like I'm in a kind of a wide circle, maybe, to use Rilke's language and Joanna's language. I'm in a wide circle, and the wider it becomes, the less I know about anything, really.
It's one of the things I know about you, Lissy, that feels important to say, is that I know you as somebody who's deeply, deeply faithful to the sacredness of life and to the possibility of bringing ourselves with love and care and goodness to one another. And it struck me as you were talking that one response to finding out how little we know, as we as we widen, if we're prepared, as you're saying, to widen ourselves enough to take in the world, to take in the others around us, just the mystery and complexity of a partner or a child or a parent or a family system or a society or a, you know, as we open ourselves, we find out how less and less that we know. And one response to that is the response that I really feel so strongly that you're articulating is a sort of faithfulness. Okay, you can't know. It's not possible to know. What's called for is staying present and attuned and receptive and contributory and being here. And being faithful, that being a human allows us to bring ourselves to this moment. Because the other response to not knowing, and this connects back, I think, to some of the troubles that I've had growing up, somebody who sort of felt that knowing was an important thing, and that knowing in our culture has taken over the last few hundred years, like knowing well. I mean, knowing about things is really important. Like, I'm glad people know about medicine, science, and history. And so I'm not knocking knowing, but this sort of not knowing what it is to be a human, or not being able to ever get our arms or our hearts or our minds around the whole situation. The other response is to go, well, it's not knowable. So let's just fall into a kind of nihilism. Let's just give up.
Mm.
Let's just give up caring. Let's give up being present. Let's just numb ourselves out with infinite scrolling on social media or cat videos or entertaining ourselves, or like, let's check out of life. And I think that we've been set up in a particular way in the culture of the world at this time, where the benefits of knowing things really well had brought us so far, like the revolution in understanding of science, for example, has brought us so far that we then make the mistake that we ought to be able to know everything in that way. And when we can't, it seems to me there's you know, in a simplistic way, there's two ways to go: deeper in or check out. And what I heard in what you were saying was that when we go deeper in to this not knowing, widening ourselves, which is what Rilke's sort of inviting us to do, and then realizing that we can't complete it, we can't get our arms around it, the feeling frightened of that is part of what throws us into polarities and binaries of people being good and evil, right and wrong, imagining there are simplistic solutions to things. If you only did this, or if only people would do this, then it would all be solved. All of that simplistic thinking is, in a way, an attempt to try to get back the feeling of knowing that we cannot have for many domains of human life. And then we also fall into undoing the kinds of knowing that really do help us. So we try and undo, you know, we sort of want to pull everything apart at that point, when we've lost kind of faithfulness in a way, the sacredness, the mysteriousness, the majesty, the goodness, the depth of life itself. And that's what my sense of people, everyone will have their own way of responding to it, but Rilke's words, I circle around God and around the primordial tower. You said, what on earth is that? And I'm with you, what on earth is that? And at the same time, it seems to me that what it is this a kind of still center in the middle of things that is worth remaining faithful to.
Mm.
Like, I hear in what you're saying that it matters that you're here, and that I'm here, and that we're here, and that we're all up to what we're doing. I really appreciate all of what you said, because maybe the other thought I had was, we pay such a terrible price by getting rigid with our stories and identities and making ourselves very small in the face of not knowing. I think Rilke's invitation, your invitation, is really important to keep on asking ourselves, what widens me? What deepens me? What brings me more in contact with life? How does more life and more care and more kindness and more wisdom flow through? What does it take? And one of the things it's going to take is everything that Rilke says.
Mm.
This has been going on for thousands of years. I'm only taking the next step. I'm not going to finish it, but I'm going to remain faithful that it matters to live well and to bring myself well, even if I really don't know who or what I am. And I'm almost certainly none of the things anybody ever told me I was.
Oh gosh, I'm kind of where I'm led, Justin, is just reflecting suddenly on this feeling at the beginning of this of thinking, oh my gosh, I've got no idea what this is talking about. And how amazing it is to encounter something where you really don't understand and you don't know what it's on about, but being open to letting it be read, heard, felt, and just being straightforward about what happens on the inside. And what a gift that is. Because honestly, what has emerged in my feeling and wondering and openness through listening to you and listening to myself and listening to the poem, it feels like really important territory for my life, but that unless I did this, I wouldn't make contact with it. And maybe that's the point of all of those paths that you mentioned, having this as central to them, is that it gives us a chance to kind of not, you know, do something that we're not always doing in service of our deepening and our contact with life and our, I guess, our spiritual sense of what it is to be a human. And it is mysterious and hard to grasp with language, and but it doesn't mean it's not to be done just because it's difficult or we feel a bit stupid or we feel a bit inadequate or whatever. That shouldn't take us away from things. If anything, it should be like, ah, I don't know what this is, I better move closer, rather than I don't know what that is, I better run because I'll feel like an idiot or something. But maybe if we can be safe enough and tolerate enough that we don't understand something and stay with it and be in relationship inside of it in a safe place where it doesn't matter what we say or whether, like, there's no wrongness. It's just, yeah, your experience is real and mine is real, and let's see what that is when we're in response to something like this. How wonderful that is, and how, in itself, makes the relationship between you and I that we do something a bit risky together, but also inside the safety then that gets made by our being together, we can actually find some new territory. I think that's what's exciting for me. It's like, I think lots of the same things a lot again and again and again and again. And then I come here and I think, oh, this is new. What, like, am I a falcon, a storm, or a great song? I now don't know even more because there's new territory here. So in terms of identity and kind of who I take myself to be in the world and in my life, the openness that comes from being here and the kind of widening that feels like it happens is really wonderful. And it feels freeing in my body as well to just be unopinionated, undefended, untethered to anything habitual, actually, and just be here, and I'm finding a great kind of freedom in it.
Unhurried as well, seems to me. We don't have to get anywhere.
Yeah.
We've got a certain amount of time, but we don't have to get. It's not the getting somewhere that's the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in the background, I've been reading a little bit of two people's work. I've been reading a bit of Richard Rorty, who was the philosopher who thought a lot about pragmatism. And one of the things Rorty says is, we ought to be doing the things that bring us more in contact with our expansiveness and our creativity and our possibility and our connection and our relationship and our, and so opening possibilities, like we know it in ourselves when we encounter something that opens the world for us, which is, I think, what that's one of the ways I take what you're saying is this practice does. And then I've also been reading James Hollis, who's a Jungian writer from the Jungian tradition, in my preparation to find something to bring about men. And one of the things that he says is how much we've lost, many of us have lost contact with the sense inside us of what is who we are, and different from just sort of going with a feeling. It's a sort of deeper kind of encounter with ourselves and with the world. And like you said, I think the reason that practices like this exist in so many traditions is this coming back into contact with ourselves and with one another and paying attention, and then discovering the sort of immense and mysterious, creative, responsive something that we all are, that's so beyond our often experience of ourselves when we're, you know, washing the dishes or paying the bills or, you know. And so it's a lovely way of talking about, oh, and the other thing is, when I woke up this morning and was just sort of thinking about having this conversation with you, Lizzie, this morning, I was remembering that we've been doing this for years, you and I now, and it's still fresh. Like it's not like I come into this going, oh, so more conversation with Lizzie. It's like something new is born every time in the way that you're talking about. And that, I think, is the real heritage of being a human, is this possibility of bringing ourselves afresh. So that is what we've been doing. And that is also what our seasons of community and practice and learning and reflection that we're calling Turning Towards Life Live is going to be. And so if you're with us and you are at all interested in having a look, turningtowards.life, and then there's a couple of places on that front page where you can link through, and you can see that what we're doing is we're taking up, each season is 6 months, and we're taking up a central topic. I think the first one is belonging, if I remember right, but you can all go and have a look, because we've said something about what the topics are, like the central questions that we're taking up. And it's a way of having regular practice, maybe with bringing somebody you know, but also maybe with meeting some people you haven't met and engaging in the, like you said, the riskiness and the deliciousness and the depth and the gifts of meeting other people and then being in this kind of conversation. So if you're listening or watching and you want to know more, if you've got any questions, you can email us, or you can just sign up. That's also easy to do. And if you've got requests, you can make them of us. And right now it's early August, and we begin in early September. So at the time that we're recording this, there's still a month to go. So there's time to come and join us if you wish. And here's the time for us to end, Lizzie. And thank you always for being so willing. I get this sort of real welcome kind of joy when you say, I have no idea what this is about, but I'm really happy to come and talk to you about it. And then we see what happens. It's really, really joyful to learn together in that way. So thank you for being audacious and open and willing to do this, and not only just to talk to me, but to put yourself and ourselves out into the world where anybody could listen to us finding our way. So thank you for being courageous and generous like that.
Thank you,
Justin. And we're going to stop here, and being well, we'll be back same time next week.
Bye, everyone.